Hello and welcome into the Locked on Wolves podcast. We are live on the postcast following the Timberwolves' loss to the Brooklyn Nets on Friday night. Marty Gellner of Bally Sports North joins the show to break down the game. The Locked on Wolves postcast starts right now.
You are Locked on Wolves postcast, part of Locked on Sports Minnesota, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked on Wolves podcast, part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked on Wolves. Marty Gellner from Bally Sports North is with me to talk about the Timberwolves' loss to the Nets on Friday. And Marty, this was a disappointing loss, to say the least. It was really a roller coaster in a lot of ways. The Timberwolves led for the first 3.5 quarters, and then they trailed by multiple possessions for most of the fourth, and then ultimately forced overtime on a Naz Reid buzzer beater, led for most of overtime before ultimately losing by a single point. Again, just a roller coaster, really tough loss for the Wolves.
Yeah, I mean, you just gave me like four storylines there in your opening comment, because that's kind of how the game went.
Yeah,
it felt like through much of it that the Wolves should have been up by 15 and they were only up 6 or 8, because the Nets just hung around, even when it felt like they were being so outplayed. But then the scoreboard didn't really match the eye test. And then the Nets had the big third quarter. Then the Wolves had to come back and have the big fourth quarter. And then you mentioned the Naz Reid shot. I mean, yeah, it was kind of all over the place. And the Wolves just, man, I feel like they let one slip tonight. They've got to be really frustrated with the way that one went down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of, like, the bigger picture way to look at this is hey, the Wolves like played well for most of the game. The Nets are like, obviously everybody knows who the Nets traded away. Brooklyn's still a pretty good team. They've been close to 500 since the trade deadline. They played well lately. They'd won 3 in a row before losing a tough game in Milwaukee on Thursday night. And they've got some good perimeter defenders. They've got a couple good offensive players. They're well coached. I mean, it's still a pretty good Brooklyn team, and the Timberwolves were the better team for the first 3.5 quarters, and then for most of overtime, or first 2.5 quarters, I should say, and most of overtime. So it's frustrating more because it was such a winnable game. And I think, you know, Brooklyn's a worthy opponent, but it's like, hey, this 2-game homestand, a couple of very winnable games that the Timberwolves dropped. Now you go back on the road, and then after the Atlanta game next week, the schedule gets tougher again. I guess let's start with the end of this game. The Timberwolves, I thought, in general, executed well for most of the fourth quarter, for much of overtime. I thought they got some pretty good looks. We'll talk about Ant here in a little bit. He might have forced some things. He did force some things, but they generated some open looks. They just couldn't make open shots, and they didn't make enough shots at the free throw line either. In fact, overall, over the second half of the game plus overtime, so third quarter, fourth quarter, and overtime, the Timberwolves made only 2 3-pointers. Halftime. One was the Anthony Edwards game time three with just under 2 minutes to play in regulation. The other was the Naz Reid buzzer beater at the end of regulation. That's it. And the Wolves missed 11 free throws in this game, a 1-point loss. So you get outshot at the beyond the arc and at the free throw line that badly in a 1-point game, it doesn't bode well.
No, and when you play a 1-point game, you're looking for any little separator, and those were actually big separators in this game. You mentioned the shooting, and the Wolves just, man, they've been off. And in, like Tuesday against Philadelphia, Anthony Edwards had 32 points. The rest of the starters combined for 22. Well, tonight, for the most part, the rest of the starters were there, but it was either not enough or it wasn't spread out far enough. And Chris Finch brought up the bench in his postgame comments, just saying like the reserve just haven't given them enough over the last couple of days. And it was kind of a quieter night, not like that shot Naz Reid made. He was 0-for-2 until he hit that 3-pointer. And for whatever reason, this just wasn't the Naz Reid game, which in general is okay. But when you also have Jalen Noel still out with his knee issue, and you have Jordan McLaughlin just not really connecting much, and you have Mike Conley having a quieter night offensively, like those things can't all happen in the same game. And it's a bit of a power outage, and whether it's anyone not named Ant or whether it's the combination of the bench, like the Wolves just, they can't afford it right now, because you see what happens. They're right there. They have a winnable game, and it just, any little thing like that makes the difference. And there you go, 1 point loss.
Yeah, I mean, the Nets made 7 more threes, so that's 21 more points beyond the arc. The Nets made 6 more free throws, that's 6 points there. I mean, combined, that's 27 points in a 1 point loss in overtime. In overtime itself, the Wolves jumped out to it. They had a 3 point lead with just about a couple minutes to play. Let's see, I have it right here. They had a 3 point lead after an Anthony Edwards actually, it was a 1 point lead, and then Ant had that possession where he had 2 blocks on one possession. I think both left-handed blocks with about 2 minutes to play in overtime. First he blocks Dinwiddie. Dorian Finney-Smith gets the rebound. Then Ant blocks Finney-Smith's layup attempt at the end of the shot clock, and it becomes a shot clock violation. Then Ant hits a tough mid-range jumper himself on the other end. The Wolves are up 3 with 1.5 minutes left in overtime. But the Nets hit consecutive three-pointers, which were sandwiched around a really tough Anthony Edwards three-point attempt that he missed badly. And it was really, Chris Finch mentioned this after the game as well, it was off-ball defense. The attentiveness wasn't quite there. They were both, first it was Mikal Bridges, then it was Finney Smith. We hit threes that gave the Nets a three-point lead, and they ultimately held on. But it was frustrating. There were a couple of those lapses. There was one late in overtime where Ant sagged too far off of, I think it was Royce O'Neal, and allowed him to hit, at the time, I think, a game-time three late in regulation. But just some of those, like, those details that they matter in most late games against good teams, and obviously more and more so down the stretch of the season, and ultimately, hopefully, in the play-in and the playoffs. It's just those sorts of moments are magnified when the game is so close. I just think off-ball defensive lapses were an issue late in this one against the Brooklyn team that you know, has been pretty so-so. They've been really up and down offensively since the trade deadline, but that really cost the Wolves in this game.
And you know, one thing that the Nets have been doing since the trade deadline is shooting a lot more three-pointers. Before they made the trade, they were 21st in the league in attempts, three-point attempts per game. After the trade and since the trade, they're 6th. So they jumped up. They're shooting about 9 more three-pointers per game. They're not always making them. They didn't see the makes and the percentage go up as dramatically, but a lot of times it will follow. And just the fact that they're getting the shots up, that's exactly what they're doing. They're shooting 9 more threes per game just in the month since the trade deadline. So when you're talking about the Wolves needing to pay attention to off-ball defense, and for Chris Finch to even point out, like, that was one thing that we had on our radar, was contesting their threes and, you know, keeping an eye on your man when the ball's over there because he's trying to get loose for a three, and then it happens in a game and then you are outscored that distinctively from the three-point line. Like, that has to be a real frustration for the coach. It's one thing, I'm guessing, if it pops up within a game and you're trying to address it within a game and you're trying to change on the fly, but when it's part of your game plan and it's in shoot around and it's part of your film study, then that is a different layer of frustration where then you think, well, is it attention to detail? Is it preparation? Where's your mindset? All those things kind of come into play. And it seems like this particular issue would fall into that category, which you don't want when you have 15 games left to play and you're in the position the Wolves are.
Let's talk about our title sponsors of the podcast tonight. That's our friends over at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season has come and gone, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Obviously, a ton of fun college basketball upcoming. Check that all out over at FanDuel. Also, the Wolves play next at Atlanta on Monday. Go check the line there. Also, player props and more. FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. In terms of individual Wolves player performances in this game, I thought this was one of Rudy Gobert's better games of the season. I thought he played well overall. He was really good early. Naz Reid had a couple rough stints, and so Rudy played a lot more in the middle stages of the game. Naz actually only ended up playing 11 minutes total. Gobert played 42 in an overtime game. Rudy had 26-13, shot 12 of 15 from the field, 26-13, four assists, four steals, only one turnover, seemed to always be in the right place at the right time. And it wasn't just Mike Conley. We also saw Kyle Anderson. We saw some Jaden McDaniels passes to Rudy. It just seemed like the flow of the Wolves offense, the chemistry with Gobert was much better. Really kind of the only blemish in his game was the four consecutive missed free throws he had late. And I think he talked about that post game as well. But in general, you know, that it has to take away from it a little because they lost by one, but it still was overall one of Rudy's better games in a Timberwolves uniform.
It definitely was. And I thought his activity really stood out. Just the way he was moving and the way he was positioning and the way he was looking for lobs. He was so available, it felt like, that he really helped himself out, where sometimes you feel like he's, I don't know if lost, I don't mean lost like he doesn't know what he's doing, but lost like he kind of gets swallowed up. But this game, he was very obvious. He had, you mentioned the 12 made field goals, 10 of those were assisted. So he was such a target that was noticeable and available for his teammates, and they were looking for him, and he had a couple of really powerful slam dunks, which you always love to see because he puts that extra authority in it, which sometimes is lacking on some of his shots. It was a Rudy game for sure. Season high in points, season high in the field goals made. But, man, if he could take anything back, it would be those four free throws that he ended up missing down the stretch. And for all intents and purposes, he has had a very good free throw shooting season. Mm-hmm. So it's uncharacteristic for him. And one of them, when he had the two shots, was halfway down the net and just rattled out. And those are obviously frustrating. But if we're going to take the positive, it is the activity level and just the positioning and being around the rim just constantly was a very good Rudy Gobert offensive game, no question.
Yeah, Kyle Anderson had a double-double as well, 15 points, 11 assists, and 7 rebounds for Anderson. Ant had big numbers, 32 points, but it was not one of Anthony Edwards' better games. There were obviously high moments, the two-block possession in overtime that I talked about a little bit ago, a couple of really tough shots he made. He had a really nice dunk early in the game. But in general, 32-6, 12 of 26 shooting, only 3 of 9 outside the arc. The shot selection was a little bit iffy. He only had 2 assists in this game. He only had 2 turnovers, but he wasn't looking to play make as much. And Brooklyn defended him not too differently from what a lot of teams are doing. Although Finney Smith is an excellent on-ball defender, and he took him one-on-one at times and did a pretty good job into forcing Ant to some, kind of goading him into some tough shots, really. And late in the game in overtime, I guess the final possession, actually, Ant kind of got trapped on the left side of the floor and got the ball to Conley. Conley didn't really get off a good shot. It just felt like the decision-making was a little off for Ant in this game. And even though the point total was nice, it wasn't one of his better games, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that, Ben. I think it was for me, a step back in the wrong direction in terms of ISO ball. And the results of the shots, a couple of them that he took, like he missed badly on a couple of shots. One was a three-pointer that just clanked off like rim to backboard off the side. It was really off. And one was at the end of, was it in regulation, when he was on the right side and he just kind of went up for a tall, almost skyhook looking thing, and it just hit the backboard and nothing else. Super uncharacteristic of Anthony Edwards. And I feel like those types of shots are the result of really forcing it. And I get it, man, but he is frustrated because he hasn't been able to put the shots up because the defense has been clamping down. He's just looking for ways to break out of it and looking for shots that will kind of propel him out of it instead of getting his teammates open and just kind of taking it as, okay, what else can I do? And somebody asked Chris Finch after the game about Ant's sort of progression as a player, and especially as an offensive player, like this is part of it, recognizing these defenses and recognizing when it's time to just not shut it down, but not be jacking up the shots. It's not time to get your teammates involved. It's time to try this, try that. Chris Finch pointed out the assists and said 2 is not enough. So it's kind of the harsh reality of a tough game from Anthony Edwards and good defense by the opposition. He's just got to find a better way to deal with that, a better way that he can be more productive for his teammates, because you're right, the points were there, but the overall game and just the efficiency and the fluidity of the offense, which has been wonderful, let's not forget that, it's been fantastic tonight, was not that same kind of stuff, though, from Anthony Edwards.
Timberwolves have another two consecutive days off. It's this weird stretch where they played last Saturday. They actually had a back-to-back on the road. They had two nights off, lost badly to Philadelphia Tuesday. Two more nights off, overtime loss to Brooklyn. Now they get the weekend off again, Saturday, Sunday off. They go to Atlanta to take on the Hawks on Monday night. Of course, Atlanta making the coaching change here recently. So that'll be an interesting matchup. The first time we've seen the Hawks this season. And then back to kind of a regular cadence of one-on, one-off in the middle of the week next week. So, you know, at Atlanta is a winnable game, and we've seen the Wolves kind of, I mean, that can go both ways for this year's Wolves team. And then the schedule gets tough again, Boston, and then on the road for Chicago, Toronto, and the Knicks. So, I mean, we said this before, you know, the Brooklyn game, it felt like this was an important game to get. The Wolves could have been fifth in the Western Conference if they'd won. They would have been tied with the Clippers, but have the tiebreaker. Yeah. Instead, they're now back to eighth in the West, and four of the next five, and overall, what is that? Seven of the next nine, I think, on the road for the Wolves.
Yeah, it's tough. How weird is it, too, that it's March 10th, we're seeing Brooklyn for the first time,
yeah,
and Monday, Atlanta for the first time.
Yep.
It's just the schedule is bizarre. A whole weekend off for Saturday, Sunday here, and then next week we'll have the Friday, Saturday back-to-back again. But, man, life in the NBA, you know, it just doesn't stop. Atlanta's got a lot to play for, too. The Hawks are in eighth as we sit right now in the East, and they just won consecutive games against the Wizards on Wednesday and tonight. So, I mean, they put a little something together, about a 500 team, but Trae Young at 28 in each game. They're trying to get claw for better positioning, too. So, I mean, don't look at Atlanta as like, well, let's chalk one up in the win column just because we think the Wolves are a better team, and I truly do think the Wolves are a better team. That is no gimme on Monday night, and the Minnesota, I think, is just going to have to play better than tonight, better than Tuesday night, and get back to whatever they found on that West Coast road trip when they reeled off three straight. Let's get back to that.
Yeah, no kidding. We will go live again Monday following the game. That's a 6:30 p.m. Central tip at Atlanta. We'll go live on the Lockdown Sports Minnesota YouTube channel, as we always do, and if you miss it live, you can always listen to the audio after the fact on whatever your favorite audio platform is on the Lockdown Wolves feed. We will see you on Monday night. A big thank you for watching. A big thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time.